This program is provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim.
So imagine if your phone bill didn't actually charge you for the minutes you talked or, you know, the gigabytes of data you downloaded.
Right, which is what we are all used to.
Exactly. But instead, it charged you for the actual thoughts your phone had to process. Like, you ask it to summarize a dense report, or plan a vacation, or draft a complex email, and you pay for that specific cognitive effort. Welcome to the token economy.
Yeah, it honestly sounds a bit like science fiction, maybe a little abstract, but this is the exact operational strategy the world's largest telecommunications companies are pivoting to as we speak.
It's wild.
It really is. The infrastructure of the internet is being fundamentally rewired away from bandwidth and toward cognitive compute.
Which is exactly what we are getting into today. We've got our hands on a really comprehensive, highly detailed briefing from Friday, June 26, 2026.
It's a great source.
Yeah, it's an incredible deep dive into China's rapidly evolving AI, robotics, semiconductor, and telecom sectors. And our mission today is to map out this massive paradigm shift happening in global tech.
Right, the transition from a world running on data to a world running on AI tokens.
Yes, exactly. And we're going to unpack what that transition means for geopolitics, the semiconductor supply chain, and honestly, how you interact with devices in your own living room.
So to really grasp the magnitude of this rewiring, we have to look at what just unfolded at MWC Shanghai 2026. Mm-hmm. The overarching theme that dominated the event, it wasn't faster download speeds or, you know, better antenna arrays.
Right.
It was the explicit transition from data traffic revenue to AI token revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Telecoms are looking at their vast networks and realizing they no longer want to just provide the transmission lines. They are aggressively repositioning themselves to become the compute providers.
Okay, let's unpack this because it's a brilliant pivot when you think about it. It's like, imagine a water utility company.
Okay.
And they suddenly realize they could make vastly more money taking the water they already pump, brewing this highly processed gourmet coffee with it, and selling you the coffee instead of just the water in the pipe.
That is a perfect analogy.
Right. The telecoms don't want to just be the dumb pipes anymore. They want to sell the processing, the intelligence itself.
What's fascinating here is the historical context that makes this pivot so urgent. Because if you rewind a few years, telecoms poured hundreds of billions into rolling out 5G, but they struggled immensely to monetize it, especially on the enterprise side.
Oh, yeah, the ROI just wasn't there.
Exactly. They built these incredibly fast, low-latency networks. But the killer commercial applications never really materialized to justify that massive capital expenditure. I mean, consumers didn't need 5G speeds just to scroll social media.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But now, AI inference provides this massive, immediate, insatiable demand for all that network capacity. Sending a prompt and receiving a generated video or a complex data analysis that requires heavy compute at the edge of the network. It is a complete business model evolution.
And the physical infrastructure they are deploying to support this is scaling at an unbelievable rate. At the event, ZTE announced their all-in AI strategy, and they revealed an AI factory design that is heavily optimized for total cost of ownership, or TCO.
Right.
They've managed to cram 128 GPUs into a single server rack.
Wow.
Just think about the thermal management and the power density required to pull that off. And they can scale that architecture up to 16,000 GPUs seamlessly.
That is massive scale.
It is. But the detail that really highlights the paradigm shift is their ultimate business metric. Because they are no longer measuring success by megabits per second, their North Star metric is now cost per token.
Right, because the token, the fundamental unit of data processed by a large language model, has basically become the new digital currency.
Right.
And the sheer volume of these tokens being processed is skyrocketing.
Oh, definitely.
China Mobile and Huawei demonstrated a new AI inference acceleration solution that increased token processing by 372%. Specifically for long context sequences. And because of optimizations like that, China is now consuming 140 trillion AI tokens daily.
140 trillion?
Yeah.
Daily.
To put that in perspective, that is a 1,000x jump in just 2 years.
A 1,000-fold jump. That is staggering. And while the infrastructure is scaling to meet that demand, the cost to the consumer is just in a free fall. We are witnessing a massive AI price war.
Oh, a huge one.
DeepSeek, which is an AI company currently valued between $52 and $59 billion, they just permanently cut the API price of its V4 Pro model by 75%.
Wow.
Yeah, they are charging an incredibly low 87 cents per 1 million output tokens. That drastically undercuts frontier models in the West, like GPT-5, Gemini, and Claude.
And, you know, the aggressive pricing isn't just venture-backed subsidization either. It's actually being driven by fundamental architectural innovation.
Wait, really? Like,
what? Yeah, we'll take Minimax, another major player from the briefing. They just launched their M3 model using what they call MSA architecture, which stands for Minimax Sparse Attention.
Okay, sparse attention.
Yeah, because traditional attention mechanisms in large language models, they scale quadratically, meaning the longer the prompt, the exponentially more compute you need, because the model is constantly weighing every single token against every other token.
I see.
So sparse attention selectively drops less relevant information from active memory. By doing this, Minimax cuts the computational overhead to just 1/20th for a 1 million token context window.
1/20th, that's a huge reduction.
Exactly. As a result, it costs only 5 to 10% of what dense models cost to run, while still maintaining highly competitive benchmark scores.
So the algorithmic efficiency is making the thoughts incredibly cheap to generate. But there is a physical reality here we cannot ignore. Processing 140 trillion tokens a day requires a staggering amount of physical silicon.
Yes, it does.
You still need the chips in those server racks to do the math. So how are these massive AI factories being built when the domestic industry faces strict international export controls on advanced hardware?
That is the multi-billion dollar friction point in the global economy right now. The answer really lies in a mix of engineering ingenuity and just sheer brute force capital investment.
Right.
A firm called Tech Insights recently tore down the Huawei Mate 80 Pro Max smartphone, and upon inspecting the die, they confirmed that its processor, the Kirin 9030, was manufactured using ASMIC's N+3 node, which is a 5-nanometer class process.
Achieving 5-nanometer logic is a massive milestone, but the method they used to achieve it is the real story here.
Absolutely.
Because the global standard for printing logic that microscopic relies on EUV lithography, but the export controls cut off access to those machines. So the domestic foundries achieved this 5-nanometer density using older DUV lithography.
Right, and to understand the complexity of that, imagine you were tasked with drawing the fine details of a miniature portrait. Ideally, you'd use a very fine-tipped pen that's EUV, but you don't have the pen. You are forced to use a thick marker that's DUV.
That sounds difficult.
It is. You can still create the intricate image, but it requires incredibly complex multi-patterning techniques. You have to draw a layer, shift your stencil slightly, draw another layer, and repeat this process 3 or 4 times.
Wow.
The margins for error are virtually non-existent. The overlay alignment has to be perfect at an atomic level, otherwise the circuit shorts out.
That is intense. But despite that mechanical bottleneck, the briefing notes that domestic semiconductor equipment self-sufficiency hit 35% in 2025.
Yeah, they actually surpassed their Made in China 2025 strategic goal, which was originally set at 30%.
So they are successfully mapping out their own end-to-end supply chain. But I do have to push back a little on the prevailing hype here. So they pulled off 5-nanometer logic without the optimal tools, but is that actually a sustainable victory? Building an advanced chip with DUV multi-patterning sounds a lot like building a modern Formula One race car using standard hand tools. The economics of it just seem punishing.
You're not wrong.
The sources show that Swag's 5-nanometer logic is 40 to 50% more expensive than equivalent wafers from TSMC. Plus, running those older lithography machines through so many extra patterning steps means the yields are incredibly challenging. A significant portion of the chips on every wafer are defective and have to be scrapped or down-binned.
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, you are really watching a collision between standard commercial economics and national strategic grit.
Okay, how so?
From a purely commercial standpoint, you are absolutely right. Paying a 50% premium for logic and dealing with severe yield degradation is a massive financial burden. It eats into operating margins and fundamentally slows down mass deployment.
Right, it doesn't make business sense.
Exactly. But from a strategic standpoint, the priority isn't profit margin. It's technical independence. They are demonstrating that they can keep their AI ecosystem advancing, even if it requires burning significantly more capital and electricity per wafer to do so.
Which means the international semiconductor supply chain isn't just a market anymore. It is arguably the most delicate geopolitical battleground in the world. and it is trapping allied nations and global tech conglomerates right in the middle.
Yeah, it really is. A recent report from the Center for Strategic and International Studies analyzed the legal authority and the political appetite of U.S. allies to implement matching AI and chip export controls.
And just to be super clear with the listener right now, our role here is strictly to analyze the market dynamics and the data presented in the briefing. We are not taking any sides on U.S. export controls, China's tech initiatives, or South Korea's trade policies.
Absolutely. We are just looking at the landscape neutrally.
Mm-hmm.
And looking purely at the geopolitical landscape, the CSIS report notes a stark divergence. Japan and the Netherlands have aligned with the export controls. However, South Korea and Germany have not yet matched that level of restriction.
And South Korea in particular is facing an absolute Goliath of an economic dilemma.
A massive dilemma.
South Korean memory giants, SK Hynix and Samsung, they currently control a staggering 88% of the global HBM market.
Right, high bandwidth memory.
Yes, which is the lifeblood of AI inference and training. You can have all the fast logic processors in the world, but if you can't feed the data into them fast enough, the memory bandwidth bottleneck the entire system stalls.
And that near monopoly on HBM puts Seoul in an incredibly tough position because they are being pressured to align with their closest security partner regarding export controls.
Right.
But simultaneously, the demand for HBM from the massive build-out of those 128 GPU AI factories we discussed earlier, it is exploding. South Korea's semiconductor exports to China surged an incredible 243% in May alone.
So what does this all mean for the listener? Well, imagine you are a business owner forced to choose between the demands of your closest security partner and the massive immediate cash flow from your biggest, fastest-growing customer. That is the tightrope South Korea is walking right now. Turning off a 243% export surge would send shockwaves through their entire domestic economy.
Yeah, and this raises an important question regarding the longevity of this political balancing act, because the semiconductor market, particularly memory, is notoriously cyclical.
Right. Booms eventually soften.
Exactly. Right now, the insatiable demand for tokens is driving peak revenue, providing a buffer. But the geopolitical pressure is compounding. Eventually, a definitive choice may be forced, and the economic fallout of cutting off that pipeline would be severe for the suppliers.
We also see the U.S. navigating this tension very carefully. The Commerce Department has reportedly been holding off on adding over 100 Chinese entities to its restricted list for 8 months now.
8 months is a long time.
It is. And that backlog includes major players we just highlighted, like DeepSeek, as well as critical memory chip makers like CXMT. The intelligence indicates this delay is a highly deliberate move designed to avoid escalating tensions prematurely.
It's a high-stakes, multilateral standoff where every single policy decision instantly ripples through the global tech market.
It really is a precarious equilibrium.
And the flow of physical silicon and manufacturing equipment is tightly constrained by these geopolitical forces.
Oh, yeah.
Yet, paradoxically, the software side that the AI models and the token generation is becoming radically cheaper, more efficient, and ubiquitous.
Oh, absolutely.
And that software evolution is driving the next massive leap detailed in the briefing. Because all of this geopolitical friction, the billions poured into DUV multi-patterning, the 140 trillion tokens processed daily, it isn't just to power chatbots on a laptop screen anymore. The intelligence is finally being downloaded into physical bodies.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because the embodied intelligence market, you know, machines that can physically perceive, reason, and act in the real world, is experiencing a massive breakout moment.
It's accelerating so fast.
The recent Hangzhou summit highlighted a startling statistic. Domestic firms now hold 50% of the global humanoid robot market. We have moved far beyond bolted down industrial arms on assembly lines. We are talking about autonomous, bipedal, reacting machines.
The physical capability on display at MWC Shanghai was a perfect example of this leap. Humanoid models from Booster Robotics and Unitree faced off in a penalty kick soccer challenge.
Wait, a soccer challenge?
Yeah, and to be clear, these were not pre-programmed, choreographed movements.
Oh, wow.
The robots were utilizing their onboard compute to independently read the physics of the ball, track the erratic movements of the goalie, and plan their kicks dynamically in real time. That requires continuous rapid perception, micro-adjustments for balance control, and immediate physical execution.
And this technology is moving directly from exhibition floors into consumer living rooms. A company called UbiTech is currently launching their U1 consumer companion robot. In a span of just 17 days, they secured over 5,000 pre-orders. That's over $1.4 million in deposits.
That is significant consumer demand.
It is. These machines are human-sized, available in male and female models, standing up to 183 centimeters tall. They boast 88 degrees of freedom.
88 degrees of freedom.
Yeah. Just think about the mechanical complexity required to coordinate 88 different joints and actuators simultaneously just to achieve natural human movement. They utilize emotional AI to read facial expressions and tone of voice for natural interaction. But out of all those specs, the detail that demands the most attention is their data architecture.
Oh, absolutely.
They store all their memory data encrypted entirely on the device.
That localization of data is a crucial architectural decision, because up to this point, the vast majority of AI interaction has relied on cloud inference.
Mm-hmm.
You send a voice prompt or a photo up to a server, it's processed into those tokens, and the result is beamed back down.
Right. The cloud handles everything.
But when an autonomous machine is physically present in your home, constantly mapping your floor plan, observing your daily routines, and having emotionally intelligent conversations with your family, the privacy implications change dramatically.
Oh, completely. It's basically the equivalent of giving your robot butler a deeply personal diary, but securing it with an unbreakable physical padlock. As AI steps out of the digital realm and enters our physical spaces, data privacy stops being a software preference where you blindly click accept on a cookie banner and becomes an absolute physical necessity.
Nobody wants the continuous visual and audio memory of their private living space constantly streaming to a centralized third-party server rack.
Exactly. And this convergence of AI reasoning and physical hardware extends far beyond just humanoids. At the same event, Honor unveiled a new operating system called Agentic OS.
Right, Agentic OS.
The core design philosophy here completely bypasses the traditional user interface. Instead of a user having to locate an app, open it, and tap through menus to execute a task, Agentic OS turns the mobile device into a proactive agent. You simply state your intent using natural language.
And then what?
The LLM processes that intent, autonomously figures out the necessary API calls across different applications, and executes the sequence for you in the background.
That is seamless. And we even saw this embodied AI trend spilling into hospitality at the Summer Davos in Dalian, where AI-driven barista robots were physically serving attendees, adapting to complex real-world environments.
Oh.
The physical integration of AI is happening across every sector simultaneously. But what is truly notable here is how the regulatory bodies are responding to this acceleration.
Right, because they are moving surprisingly fast.
They really are. The regulatory landscape is actually moving in tandem with the technological breakthroughs. The domestic government bodies, specifically the CIC, MIT, and NDRC, have already drafted and implemented a policy framework that explicitly defines what an AI agent is.
How do they define it?
They classify it legally as an intelligent system capable of autonomous perception, memory, decision-making, interaction, and execution.
So they aren't sitting back waiting for embodied AI to mature and potentially cause widespread issues before they step in. They are proactively defining the legal and operational space.
Exactly. The framework establishes strict guardrails, explicitly mandating continuous human oversight in high-risk deployment scenarios. They are building the legal infrastructure for a society where AI doesn't just generate text on a screen, but physically manipulates the environment around us.
It demonstrates a clear understanding that embodied intelligence carries fundamentally different risk profiles than software-bound AI. I mean, a hallucination in a language model gives you a factually incorrect essay.
Right.
But a hallucination in an embodied agent operating heavy machinery or navigating a crowded public space, that could result in immediate physical damage or severe safety hazards. Proactively mandating human-in-the-loop oversight is the regulatory attempt to safely integrate these autonomous systems into public and private infrastructure.
It is a very necessary step.
So if we pull all these threads together, we've mapped out a massive technological life cycle today. We started with the invisible structural shift happening inside those massive server racks. The pivot from telecoms selling data bandwidth to selling cognitive AI tokens.
Right, a total rewiring of the business model.
Exactly. We looked at how companies are completely reinventing themselves as compute providers to handle a staggering 140 trillion tokens every single day. We navigated the high-stakes, highly delicate semiconductor wars, where DUV multi-patterning is being pushed to its absolute physical limits to build the necessary hardware to Spidium export controls.
And the incredible tension that creates globally.
Yes. We examined the intense macroeconomic pressure this puts on nations like South Korea, caught in a geopolitical squeeze between security alliances and cash flow. And finally, we saw how all those billions of dollars in chips and trillions of AI tokens are ultimately being downloaded into physical robots standing right in our living rooms.
It is a remarkable chain of events to analyze. You are tracking the journey from the fundamental physics of printing a 5-nanometer logic gate without the optimal lithography tools all the way up the stack to a humanoid robot dynamically planning a penalty kick in real time.
And it serves as a powerful reminder that this transition from bytes to tokens isn't just an abstract piece of industry jargon meant for earnings calls. It is a fundamental shift in how you will interact with the digital and physical world.
Very true.
In the very near future, purchasing AI reasoning, literally purchasing thoughts, will be as standard, routine, and essential as purchasing your monthly cellular data plan.
Which leaves us with a critical long-term geopolitical consequence to consider.
Oh, absolutely. What's on your mind?
Well, if raw AI compute and these cognitive tokens become a basic essential utility for modern society, you know, much like electricity or clean water, but the advanced silicon infrastructure required to generate them remains tightly bottlenecked by geopolitical borders, export sanctions, and trade wars. How will token inequality fundamentally shape the standard of living, education, and economic power between different countries over the next decade?
That is a massive structural question. If your phone bill does eventually charge you for the thoughts your device processes, the real geopolitical battle might just be deciding who gets access to the processing power to have those thoughts in the first place. That is definitely something to mull over. That's all for today's deep dive. We'll catch you next time.
This program is provided by Lawyer Kyungjin Kim.